Welcome back to the show. There's no telling where we'll go. So come and share a laugh on the Imp and Skiz podcast.
We're back. Feels like forever ago ages. That we were sitting on the couch talking to Smager.
It was ages
ago. It feels like forever ago, man. Because we did. We like preloaded those so that we could go on our high top secret trip to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which most people know by now why we went there, but let's recap it. So charity stream, Gamers Outreach, they invited us out. Apparently they do this like LAN event, and it was like just people hanging out inside this like basketball arena, just playing games together. But they also had this other like section for streamers to help raise money for Gamers Outreach, which Hermitcraft has done before. This is your first time.
It is.
Doing Gamers Outreach, but it was really cool. They put together these mobile gaming carts that go into hospitals like around the world. Somehow they get them in hospitals all over the place. And they're used by patients in the hospitals. And I also found out by the parents as well of patients as the patients were going through treatment and stuff. Sure. And Tango and I got a chance to go visit one in one of the hospitals nearby and just hear the stories of the people that use them. And it was just incredible how much these carts mean in a setting like that. So yeah, they invited us to come out.
To be physically there.
To which physically was, come out and like invited, you know, as many hermits and friends actually that we could bring to help raise money. And so we did it. We got it together, IRL.
And it was so cryptic. Like we had to be so secretive about it and for good reason. But it was bizarre because when you're a part of something like that, you know, you want to scream it from the mountaintops, you know, and this is something that's been sort of a micro dream of mine for a long time now, is being able to get enough clout to where I can do a charity event and it means something, right? And obviously the gravity here is going to be Hermitcraft. I get that. But we got to see from an individual level what our contributions were going to be. And it was so huge. So to keep it as quiet as we kept it was like, God, I just want to get there so we can announce it. And so because everybody thought that we were going to do it remotely. Yeah. So it was like, we're going to do this charity event, but we're going to be there physically. And the reveal was pretty stellar.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah, it wasn't a public event. That's kind of why we had to keep it somewhat of a secret, was just because of that. We had a feeling that if we announced ahead of time that all the hermits were going to be in one place at the same time, and then anybody nearby would just try to show up, which they did.
They did, yeah.
Even after, like, we dropped a surprise, like, people still showed up. And unfortunately, maybe we didn't do a good job communicating that it wasn't public, but unfortunately, they got turned away. There was pretty good security in the building.
Yeah, but it was kind of weird because it was like, how can we communicate that it's not really a public event if we can't really communicate that we're even going to be there? Because if we're not going to be there, why are we talking about the fact that it's not a public event? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I think there was a real, because we had a lot of meetings internally as Hermitcraft to talk about some do's and don'ts and stuff like that, right? We all wanted to be telling the same story. We all wanted to be on the same page and all that. And there was some like, listen, people are smart, man. People put things together. So we even had talks like, don't even say you're going to be gone next week streaming wise, because if too many hermits do that, people are going to be like, oh, and the Gamers Outreach, and they're going to people are going to put it together. And you know, it's kind of, I don't have the right word. I want to say frustrating, but it's not. It just kind of sucks that like we have to keep it quiet because 99.9% of people are just fine. You know what I mean? But it's a 0.01% or whatever that messes it up for everybody. So we had to keep it kind of quiet, which was fine. And we went and did it. And I got to tell you, I'm not wrong about this, right? You guys did this before, but it was remote, right?
Yeah, we did it remote.
Yeah.
So everybody, once we made the announcement that we were doing it, we just kind of left out the fact that we were doing it in person, you know, and so everybody just assumed it was going to be remote. Because I did end up having to cancel like my Friday stream because we're on a plane, you know, during the time I'd normally be streaming. So I was like, well, I'm going to cancel my Friday stream because I'm getting ready for this big charity stream happening over the weekend. And so that made sense. I think most people bought that.
That close, it makes sense.
Yeah, and also not exactly a lie. It was true. I was preparing for the charity stream by getting on an airplane.
It's not a lie. You got it sorted. Yeah. Well, let's do it. Let's take it from the top, right? Let's just move past all the meetings we had and all the leveling that we did and everything. Because I think what we're going to do is, as we take it from the top and we tell the story and our journey on this whole thing, previous conversations and agreements are going to reveal themselves. Oh, that's because we talked about the sense. So let's just take it from the top. And the wonderful, wonderful woman who took us to the airport at a just ridiculously early time.
4 a.m.? Like, 5 a.m.? Somewhere between 4:30.
We left at 4:30?
I don't know. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. I know because the night before, like, I set my alarm for 3:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. You set yours for 3:30 a.m. And we made up a little game. Let's see who can text the other person closest to 3:30.
Yeah.
And that was Friday morning. And I remember because at 3:29 a.m., I'm up and I'm looking at my phone and I've got my SpongeBob GIF all ready to go with, like, the alarm clock blaring and I'm ready to text you. I'm waiting for it to turn, you know, to 3:30. And, like, dude, I'm telling you, man, it's 3:29 and it must have been 57 seconds and yours came through. I'm like, cheater face. And I know.
Mine had ticked over.
Yeah. And I, like, hit it as fast as I could. And you sent me, wake up.
Chop suey.
Yeah. Wake up. That whole thing. You know, it was so good. And so anyways, but the bottom line is our messages hit like that. And that's when, in that moment, I realized we're both very excited to go do this.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that was. Yeah. It was a safety approach for, like, let's make sure I don't sleep in, you don't sleep in. Mainly we're worried about me. But it was still like, let's just do it anyways. But as soon as both of ours came in simultaneously, I was like, we're both very excited about this.
In fact, I had been up for a while because I was so excited. I just, you know, I've been having trouble sleeping anyway. And so I was just like, I think I woke up at like 2 something in the morning.
Jeez.
And so I'd been up for a while. I actually slept.
That's when I went to bed.
I slept in here. I slept in the guest house part of the studio just so that when I got up to leave, I wouldn't, like, wake the entire house up, you know?
Yeah.
So I was sleeping in here, and that might have been part of why I wasn't sleeping so well. But that gave me the freedom to, like, get up and, like, take my time and just, like, make sure I had everything, which I did. I forgot one thing, and that was the charger for my Garmin. I switched to Garmin, by the way, after our favorite things video. I bragged about the Fitbit, and then I switched to Garmin. Anyway, I know. Blame my wife got it first, and she's like, this is better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, I forgot that. But other than that, I brought everything. I didn't forget a single thing. I was happy about that. But, yeah, then we got picked up by Mrs. T.
Yep, Mrs. Tango.
4:30 in the morning, probably.
Whatever it was, 4:50. I don't know. I thought it was 4, but who knows? Early.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because I remember thinking 3:30. That means I only got 30 minutes to get up and be ready. So, yeah, you're right. It was like 4 in the morning. Whew. And then we made our way to the airport. And, we were there with plenty of time. We ended up not having to check any bags, which was crazy considering the amount of time that we were going to stay.
Can we? Let's do it. Let's unpack that conversation.
You want to throw Tango on the bus?
You were going to do it. You and I are very big, like, carry-on people. Mm-hmm. Just make it happen with a carry-on. And we were all kind of worried because we'll go into this as well, but there was a fun road trip planned after the event. And on top of that, I actually was going to be there like 2 or 3 days longer than all of you because I was going to go meet up with my wife, and I were going to go see our daughter. So the idea of getting all of that into one carry-on meant there has to be the ability to do laundry, which is not, we're not splitting the atom. We'll do some laundry when we're there. You're on board. I'm on board. And poor Tango is just like, so really, like, you guys are, you're not going to check any bags? And we're like, no, we're going to do carry-on. He's like, you'd rather do laundry than take a check bag. And both of us are like, dude, if you want to check a bag, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're just not. You know what I mean? But yep. I feel like I don't feel like either one of us gave him pressure to get it down to a carry-on, but he pulled it off. Yeah.
He did it. He brought one pair of clothes, wore the same thing the entire
No.
Somehow he managed to fit it in there. Actually, I was impressed because I had like my carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, but I also always bring a backpack.
Yeah.
And that's got all my, like, electronics and stuff, the stuff that I might want on the plane or just have handy. And then plus I shove, like, another hoodie in there, which I didn't end up actually wearing at all. So my backpack was just stuffed with my hoodie for no reason. It was much milder weather than I was expecting when we got there. I was excited to be, like, cold, and it got maybe a little bit cold one day.
Yeah, a little bit. It was nice. It was really nice weather. Yeah, I brought my backpack too. I had to. I had my, I'm, I was still working. You know what I mean? So I knew that throughout the duration of the following week.
You had to juggle.
I had to juggle like a lot there. Like there was, you guys were all so awesome about it too. But cause like we'd be in the house that we'll talk about in a little bit, but we'd be in the house and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to be back in this back room. I've got to work and take meetings and do my thing or whatever. But all right. So we take the flight there. And then from the airport, we had an Uber.
We were kind of late. Right. Remember the plane? Like,
oh, yeah.
The plane like went all the way to the runway to take off.
Yeah.
And it's like, sorry, guys, we got to turn around and go back.
Yeah.
And weird stuff was happening. I still don't understand.
Bro, I don't either.
A couple people were escorted off the plane, but at the same time, the pilot's telling us they need to replace a part. And I thought maybe the part was a cover up for whatever happened to these people. And
I thought so. Yeah. And they said somebody puked. So I'm like, OK, here's the deal. If somebody puked or you had to escort people off the plane, and you don't cover it up by saying we have to fix a part of the plane.
Yeah, that just, part felt weird. Like they went as far as bringing guys in with the vest in a trapper keeper and like documenting the part. And so I kind of bought it at that point.
Yeah.
When they're actually writing down a physical part number in a log that they brought on the plane. You know, I was like,
maybe
it's like, wow, this is really elaborate at this point.
Maybe they went to escort somebody off and they're like, oh, you know what? Good. I need this extra time to replace that turbine anyways. You know what I mean? Maybe they tried to kill two birds with
one stone. Oh man, with all the weird stuff going on with airlines lately, got me a little concerned.
Yeah.
So I was cool. I was fine. You know, I was sitting next to you. Poor Tango was across the aisle from us, so didn't get a chat as much. But
I kept reaching over and touching his shoulder, as it, you know what I mean, as because it's loud.
Let him know that he's still there.
You're here, buddy. Yeah. And I do it one time. I did it. He's all, I'm still here, man. That's so funny.
Just make sure you weren't gonna go anywhere. Yeah. But yeah, because of that, we were late, and like all the other hermits and when we say hermits, we are just gonna bring Jimmy and Martin into that
into
term
the conversation.
For now.
It's hermits and friends.
They were honorary hermits for the weekend, so they're included. But they came as well. Everyone had gotten there, like mostly the day before us.
Yeah,
I think we decided to not leave till early Friday morning so that you could continue working. Tago also wanted to finish up a video, needed some extra time, and so yeah, we were like the last ones to actually get there. Plus, we pretty much had the least amount of like jet lag. You know what I mean? Maybe Joe from Tennessee had less than us. But our flight was just like 3 hours or something. It was no big deal.
Yes.
So
small.
By the time we got there though, they were already like at the venue setting up their computers and stuff.
Yeah. And I was, I don't want to say worried, but it was one of those, like, I don't want to go to bed tonight and not feel like I'm technically completely set up, because we start tomorrow morning. And I don't want to be doing any sort of configurations or installs or getting the stream key going or any sort of banners or all that stuff.
There was a lot of stuff.
A
lot,
dude.
There was way more than I could have imagined.
A lot. There's so much. And it's like setting up a new computer.
Yep.
You know, it's like every bit of it. And so I remember I was like, I got to take a, you know, make sure I can get my stream key, make sure I know all my passwords, because I'm logged into things for so long that sometimes I'm like, what's my password? You know, like I end up forgetting. So went through that whole list. But I remember sitting down. First of all, I remember they took us back to our area and I started to get really excited for where I am in life right now. I remember thinking that. I remember being like, this is like, what an unbelievable blessing this is to be invited to something like this. Mm-hmm. And these setups are sick. And like, they got a lot of great equipment and they have all, this is great. Let's do this. And I get in and I just start knocking things out. And the next thing I know, I've blinked and I'm like 80% done. You know what I mean? There's still some T's to cross, but I'm like 80% done and I got plenty more time and I feel good. Like I went from being very nervous to now I'm like, in regards to my setup, to like, I'm feeling a lot better about this. And you were a huge help, because you went through some sort of rigmarole where I don't even remember what it was. What I do know is that I was trying to do something and it wasn't quite working. And then I went online, I started researching it. You were sitting next to me. You looked over at my browser. You're all, yep. Been there. You know, and I remember you're like, I know exactly. Let me help you, man, because that sucked. And then you came over, you stepped me through it. I'm like, I don't think I ever would have gotten there. Like it was whatever it was super complicated. It was some, what was it? Do you remember?
It might have been the SDI thing. So we had this like ability to take video signal from another. So basically there was that clumsy cooking hot ones kind of like main area.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get the feed from the camera over there into our computers so that we could just put them as overlays basically, and anytime just switch to that, and you could kind of like see the entire streamer aisle all of us. And then actually there was some non-hermit streamers like down on the other end of the half of that aisle Which they all hated us by the end of this event, I'm sure.
No but, way. Well, maybe.
I'm pretty sure they got shot by the Nerf guns a few times. But yeah, so it was done through this technology called SDI. I think it's SDI. I hope I'm getting that right. NDI.
NDI.
NDI, thank you.
I thought something was off there. Yeah.
Standard definition. No, NDI, network. It's like network display, whatever. It's a way to transmit video over the network. And so we were able to like, they had a server set up that was like sending that signal out that we could pull in. Anyway, it took like plugins and all sorts of configuration, encryption keys and passwords and all this stuff in order to get that working. But we got it working. It was great because if not, I wouldn't have been able to continue streaming during the hot ones.
Yep.
And that was great. I was like, okay, I'm going to go over to the hot ones thing. Bang, hit a button. You can see me get up out of my chair and like walk over to the table, which was super cool. But the whole setup was like not familiar to me. Like the microphone's not my normal microphone.
Yep.
The interface, not my normal interface. I mean, they did have the Stream Deck Plus at least, which I was familiar with and kind of using the Wavelink software, but it was all being plugged in not the way I would have done it. You know what I mean? Like part of me wanted to tear everything down that they had done for me ahead of time and like build it myself.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, why is the microphone plugged into the USB? Okay, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, like forget it. Just all, you know, and we couldn't monitor ourselves either. Like we normally do. We usually have we could hear our voices directly from the microphone.
Which
and that
is what we do.
That was unavailable.
Yeah, whenever you see us streaming or when we're filming, as I speak, it's real time back into my ear. Mm-hmm. There, and by real time, I mean instantaneous real time. And it helps me get in touch with what the timbre of my voice is in that time and the inflection and stuff like that. And
make
I like
sure you don't leave on any voice effects.
That's a good one too. You know? Yeah. You wouldn't, if you don't have that, you don't know if you have a modulator on and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So we've always worked like that. We didn't have that luxury this time. Had to get used to it pretty fast.
In fact, there were wireless headsets, which were really glitchy.
All of them are just mine.
I think there was just too many signals in this building or something because, like, if I turned my head this way, I lost audio.
Yeah, see, that makes me feel a little better because I'm like, there were times I kept smacking my head because G would be talking to the whole group and it was like critical what he was saying, but I had to like read his lips, couldn't hear a word he was saying, but my chat could, which was really interesting. I mean, they could hear all of it because, you know, through my system.
They
but
just thought you weren't listening or paying attention properly.
I'm like smacking
they
my
just
head.
Told you that, Skiz.
Yeah, I know. I felt so bad.
You dumb dumb. No, not to bag on. I mean, I don't want to bag on the setup. They did an amazing job getting all those computers, getting all the things we needed, the microphones, the XLR interfaces and Stream Decks and keyboards and mice and everything. Although it would have been nice to have my keyboard. Anyway, so They did a great job getting that all. It's just like when you're at a station that you're not used to, like it just feels weird. I felt very fish out of water, you know. I was like not ready to compete in any kind of Zitz Olympics or even build in you know the guess the build that we did. We had some really fun events
we did
set up, but yeah, Friday night. You know, even though we got in late, we got the stuff done in 2-3 hours.
Yep.
And we got to go have dinner.
Go have dinner, hang out a little bit.
Yeah.
Wake up the next day, and we are all at the hotel. That wake up the next day, and we know that it's go time, and we come in, and it's, you know, that you get that buzz in the air, like we're about to go live in an hour, and in 45 minutes, and 30 minutes. And then you and I had a really good moment where a lot of people had said that they were feeling like, I'm getting nervous, you know, and you want that. You actually want that because it's indicative that it's being taken seriously, right? And you're like, and you said, I'm getting nervous. And you and I had this, like, I think you were able, like, I had a revelation right in front of you, like, about myself. And I was like, are you? And you said, I am. And I'm like, that's good, man. And you said, you're not nervous? And I said, I'm not. And I can tell you had this, like, well, you damn well should be. Yeah. You know what I mean? That should be your reaction.
Yeah. And I think, did I say... this is a pretty big deal. Or something.
You're like, this is kind of a big deal. I'm like, it is a big. This is huge.
Yeah.
And I said, and then I paused and I psychoanalyzed myself for a second, and I said, it's not that I'm not aware of what a big deal this is. I said, I think I'm just nervous because I'm just very comfortable, and I'm nervous every day at work. I've been in this industry for 18 plus years. I'm nervous every day because I've been a fish out of water for 18 years, and I said, but here, I'm home. Like it was like that, and that was my moment. I'm like, I really should be nervous about this, but I'm not. Like here, I'm home with my friends, with my family. Let's just call it what it is. We went through the ringer together, and now we're doing something that's clearly an absolute good, and it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And there's going to be, countless thousands upon thousands of eyes on all of us. This is a very, very big deal. I'm not nervous at all because I'm home. Like, it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, yeah. But I at the same time, I think I even said to you, this is not an arrogance thing. It's something very different. And I guess I don't really know what it is. But when I realized I'm nervous every day at work, you know what I mean? That's when I was like, no, I do have the ability to get nervous. And it's when I don't belong. And yeah. That was a good moment. And I said that and you're all, it was the best one.
Like, must be nice. Must be nice because I'm sweating bullets right now expecting anything and everything to go wrong. And this just be a complete, show. It was well put together. I mean, I think, Scar wasn't able to make it, unfortunately. He did plan on traveling, but he had some medical things come up in the weeks leading up to this that just made it so it wasn't super feasible for him to do that travel.
Yeah.
And so they pivoted in a very special way with the RoboScar.
So good.
Basically an iPad on a Segway that would just, so that he could control good. Remotely. He could see us, hear us. We could see him and hear him. And he was able to just roll around the entire event.
Yeah.
And it was like, almost like he was there. It was this close to feeling like he was there.
People like put balloons on it and like think little hands or something to that effect. And
he had a badge hanging off of him.
Yeah. At one point, I mean, he was even like, we all annoyed each other a lot, like on purpose. You know what I mean? Like go bug with each other. He did the same thing. I was streaming. I didn't even know he came up behind me. And all of a sudden this balloon starts pushing into my face as I'm like, what is this? And I look over and I see Scar's face because he's right there on the iPad. And he's the one who brought himself over. And I thought that was just, I mean, to see that through and execute it the way they did. I mean, I cannot speak highly enough of the people that put this together. Mm-hmm. And I had some words with them. I had some words with them, away from everybody, because I come from this world a little bit, and that was the only other time in this industry I work in that I'm a fish out of water that I was comfortable was when I was doing event management before COVID. But I work with groups like this, and to pull off something like this, people don't understand how many moving parts there are. There are so very many moving parts, and it's a bit of a house of cards because sometimes this can go wrong or that can go wrong, but every once in a while, there's something that can go wrong that tears the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And in an environment that is as technical as this one was, where technology was everything, almost everything could tear the whole thing down.
Right.
But the people who put this together were just cream Fantastic. Of the crop, dude.
Yeah.
I was so impressed. I'm like, guys, I work with groups like you. I work with people like you. I know what I'm talking about. And you guys are second to none. And they were really into it, and I said, so all like they gave us a lot of accolades, the Hermits and Friends. They gave us a lot of accolades in regards to the energy we were able to bring. And my response to that, and everybody agreed, was you made it very easy to bring that energy because mm-hmm. of what you provided.
Yeah.
And like anytime I felt myself like I'm battery's draining, man. Like anytime that sort of kind of started to happen, my brain's like, take a look around. Imagine setting this up. Suck it up. You know what I mean? And then it helped me. I think everybody went through that rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Like we've had days where we've set up for this podcast and like we've had tech issues, And it's hard to like get past that. Like it almost puts you in this like bad mood because you're dealing with these things that you didn't anticipate. You don't want to be dealing with. You just want to get the job done. And nothing came up that put us out of our like happy mood that we were in because we were just so grateful to be there. So grateful to help raise money for this good cause. And we're grateful to be in each other's company IRL because it's. Doesn't happen. Like it's happened rarely, when MindCons used to happen, the Hermits would meet up for those here and there. But this was something different. Like there was 14 of us that came together, 13 of us that came together. And it was fantastic.
It was.
And so because Scar couldn't make it in person, Grian decided to kind of step up and do run of show just because he was there in person. It'd be easier to walk to each person saying, okay, we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. And that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Grian just blossom as a leader and just take charge and his confidence and walking around with that clipboard looking all official only to find out later it was a freaking picture of a duck that he drew. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Never once did I look over his shoulder to see what the heck he was pretending to write down.
When you walk around with a clipboard, you seem important. And I remember thinking, like, he's got that clipboard and he's clutching to it and he's got some plans.
Yeah.
It was a picture of a duck. That's all. He just drew a picture of a duck.
Gotta love him, man.
Yeah.
And then we brought Martin, who had, in the first time we did the Gamers Outreach Charity virtually, Martin came on the Hermitcraft server and was kind of like the MC who would, like, announce the events that were going on and, like, read all the donations and hype everything up and kick off the dollar drives and things like that. Martin shows up with no voice. Just completely trashed. He had just gotten over being sick,
yeah,
and he hadn't recovered his voice yet. So it was like, okay, Martin, read some donos. And he's like, literally, like, nothing would come out. We're like, never mind.
That's so bad for him. And he even kept saying, it's like, I feel fine.
Yeah.
It's my voice. I just lost my voice. And I was like, dude, like, of all people and of all times, like, this has got to suck.
Terrible time.
Yeah.
Terrible time. I was super nervous that something like that would happen to me. Like, I would get sick, like, the day before or during or, you know, after, which time will tell because we've only been home for a few days.
Yeah.
I can tell you what, I don't like the allergies around here. As soon as I landed, like, immediately my throat was scratchy and I'm like clearing my throat left and right all of a sudden, where that didn't happen when we were on our trip. So time to move.
It's
where you want to go.
Yeah. Mrs. Skiz has been wanting to move for a while. So let's talk it over.
I still got kids in school, unfortunately. I'm grounded here for a bit longer.
A little bit more. So, you know, I like how we were able to make the motion of the fundraising for these cards and, like, tie it to milestones and stuff like that. And we started, I don't remember what it was, but do you remember Scar was in jail for a little bit?
Oh, right. Yeah. We had to come up with milestones. And that was one of them that we had to hit. I can't even remember. It was a big number.
It was like, I think it was
250.
So, like, maybe it was a quarter.
Or 100?
Yeah,
maybe somewhere in there. It was a lot to expect early enough to release Scar and let him free. Like, I'm like, he's going to be in there for the whole day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he was out.
He was out quickly.
Yeah.
Because, man, the community just came together and something special, man. Like, it was getting me emotionally. It was hard to, like, not let it affect me emotionally just to see the outpouring of support come in so hot, so heavy from the community. And and they were, you know, they were excited to see that we were all there in person. They were excited because we had planned so many, like, great events to, like, keep the entertainment value there. Because, I mean, you know, we could have just been like, hey, we're raising money for charity and just sat there and watched donations come in and read them. But we wanted to provide some entertainment.
Of course.
To make it worth their while to come in and give back. You know, they're giving to the cause and we're hopefully giving some entertainment and laughs and stuff, which Tango and Zedef did a spectacular job doing with their fourth installment of Clumsy Cooking live, like, in front of all of us. That was the first time I had been live in person. I remember just sitting there at my station, just waiting for my turn to do whatever was next. And I look over and they're just having the time of their life, dropping eggs everywhere. Like, the place was a mess, man. And they're just, I just kept looking over and I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. They had a big old thing of plastic on the ground. I remember thinking, I'm not sure that's enough plastic because they were messy.
They got close.
At one point, so I had a slight job to where, because like there was a lot, like, Dot was managing a lot of, like, the specifics of the wheel spin and stuff like that. And then, but whenever there was a wheel spin, which indicates a behavior change on their part, they couldn't always tell what was happening because, you know, they're blindfolded or they're doing a lot of stuff. And so I was banging two sticks together anytime she pointed to me. So I had, like, I was up and close with them. And I remember, like, Safety Skiz kicked in. And as more and more eggs dropped, I'm like, it's going to ruin the whole show if somebody slips into the table and knocks the whole table over. So I'm like, keep an eye on that. And at one point they dropped a bottle, like, right next to either Tango or Zed's foot. And I'm like, if one of them steps on that bottle, they're going. You know what I mean? Like, they're going, because they can't see. They're bound up. They're doing all this stuff. So I took one of my giant bamboo sticks I was using to indicate that there's a behavior change. And I don't even know if it made its way into the shot. I tried to make sure it didn't. And I, like, reached way out with my long arms. I grabbed that bottle while they were performing. I just pulled it away from, you know, Tango's foot or Zed's foot, whoever it was. I remember I just kind of just did that. I'm like, they need somebody watching this. And somebody caught something big time. Tango, I think, bumped the table. That table was up on a platform. And that thing was, like, inches away from toppling.
Jeez.
Yeah, and somebody who was not Dot, was like came out, was like, hold on. And then as soon as, like, they fixed it, like, all of us were like, whoa, like it would have stopped the show. You know what I mean? Like it would have dumped everything on
also
the ground.
Would have been pretty funny.
It would have been funny, but it would have stopped the show.
It would have.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So good catch. Yeah. Good catch. Now, gosh, my memory sucks. Was Clumsy Cooking like, it wasn't first. Did we do Guess the Build before that? I can't even remember the order of events.
I can't either. It's such a blur.
Yeah. It was a long weekend. Like we had 10 hours, 12 hours maybe of content the first day.
Something like that.
And the second day was supposed to be pretty relaxed and ended up being way more.
Yeah.
Like we ended up pushing Hot Ones to the next day.
The second day.
So Hot Ones is kind of like my segment to manage, right? Yeah. Like I had to be on top of how to all the logistics and getting hot wings and getting the sauces and the plates set up and figuring out the format and all that kind of stuff. And we weren't sure when that was going to hit because that was tied to a milestone.
Yep.
We weren't sure if it was going to hit. We thought maybe there's a chance we walk out of here and bought the hot wings lineup of sauces for nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
it didn't almost happen, but it started to look like it might happen.
Right.
Because I think we thought we were going to hit it earlier than we did. But once it hit, then, I mean, it was like, then we ended up going like way past
over.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought maybe we would hit in the first day, just based off of what happened in the previous stream.
Yeah.
Years past. And it didn't quite get there, but we had another day ahead of us. So I think, you know, we should have accounted for like the trickle to just happen stretched over those 2 days instead of like thinking it was all going to come in anyway. Didn't matter because we had so much stuff on the docket.
Yeah.
That the whole day was just filled with, I mean, Guess the Build was,
dude, Guess the
to
Build.
Be able to do Guess the Build in person and actually switch computers,
that
physically switch computers.
That was next level. Cause you and I are the only ones with inverted mics.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal with Guess That Build. I'm already terrible. And so I kind of bring the comedic relief cause I'm already a bad builder or whatever. And I don't do it on purpose. I'm just going to go do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do my best, but my best ends up being comical. When the mouse is not inverted the way I like it, dude, it brought me to a complete standstill. You adapted a lot quicker than I did. It brought me to a standstill to where I was like, at one point, I'm like, all I want to do is do a row of horizontal blocks. That's it. I've been at this for like 3 minutes. For some reason, I'm like, okay, and I go click, click, click. I just went up again. I just went down again. Like, it was like I lost so much time. So some of my builds that were already destined to be bad were like, that's not bad. That's like you didn't even, like, it looks like you had about 4 seconds, you know?
Because I had to follow you for the guessing.
You were giving me so much static.
And one of your builds, I just made something up. It had nothing to do with what I was looking at. I was like, it's time for a new term.
It wasn't that bad. Not that one. I don't remember which one it was. That one was not, there was one that you would have made more sense if you did that. But one of them, like, come on, man, I actually gave you something here, but doesn't matter. It was still very bad.
The saddest table dancer alive, I think, was one of them. Because you'd built, it looked like a table, and it looked like
really,
a person, and it looked like a
really
tear.
Good. Yeah.
And it looked like they were holding an umbrella, so I was thinking they're dancing like an umbrella, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Mary Poppins style.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I went at the saddest table
that
dance.
That was a good response, yeah.
That was super fun. And then, like, having people, so I still haven't watched it back, but apparently it was hilarious, all the people that came to our stations and hit inverted mouse as well.
Yeah.
We dealt with it a lot more because I think like there was 8 people playing.
Yeah.
And so we had 6 out of the 8 stations,
dude,
that we were unfamiliar with, where they only had 2 out of the 8 stations to deal with that.
Yes.
But
it was terrible.
I heard it was pretty funny. Everybody that sat at my computer was just complaining up a storm.
Yeah. Well, Martin sat at my computer. He sat at your computer. That was the first time he had to do one with, and I was to his right. And he sat at your computer. He goes, oh, this is going to be one of those. And he moves the mouse and he goes, ugh. And he pretends to throw up.
Dry heave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
That went off really well. That was Green's, you know, brainchild there of figuring out how to get us to like move stations and stuff. And I remember you were like, I'm going to change the settings. And I was like, no, you're not.
Yeah, that was a good call.
I was like, no, you're not.
That was a good call.
I was like, if I'm going to deal with it, you're going to deal with it. And it's going
to
be funnier
but
that
way.
But
it's more than that. It also meant they all had to deal with it.
Exactly.
So that was when I thought it through, I'm like, no, he's absolutely right. But so anyway, so that was good. And Clumsy Cooking was good. We did the, I don't think you were part of it, but we did the.
I didn't do the bingo because I thought maybe that was going to be around the time of day when we were going to end up doing the hot ones. So I was kind of like getting ready to prepare for that.
Yeah.
And then as that kind of didn't come to fruition, like we saw it was going to happen. I just kind of went around and messed with people while they were doing the bingo.
Yeah. That must've been fun actually. Well, I was partnered with Zed. And so I was the mouse and he was the keyboard. And so it's basically there was X amount of teams playing bingo, Minecraft bingo. And I was the mouse, he was the keyboard, and they were all doing that same stuff too. And that was a fun new way to collaborate with somebody. You know what I mean? Zed is already one of the funniest people on the planet. So like we were never truly bickering, like ever, but it was almost like we were trying to mock bicker. But when you're trying to mock bicker, you have to go with real fodder. And there were actual things to be frustrated about. Not that one of us actually was. But we got to play that dance, and other people were doing it as well. But, man, we got our butts whooped twice, dude. Well, not whooped. First time whooped. Second time we made huge strides, but it was a very distant – or very, very – I'm sorry, very close last place. So we improved massively on the second one.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So, geez, what happened after that? So since we didn't end up doing hot ones, I can't remember what actually happened after bingo. Oh, we played Phasmo.
We did play Phasmo. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we played Phasmo. So I spent some time during bingo, like, installing Phasmophobia and trying to, like, remember all the settings and stuff. And for whatever reason, the game was not picking up my microphone. Yeah. So I couldn't, like, talk in the spirit box and stuff. So I was, like, trying to figure all that out while the bingo was going on. But, man, we started playing Phasmo, and woo! It's been a while. Like, I hadn't played Phasmo since the start of Season 10, just because I wanted to, focus on Hermitcraft. And after we played that, man, I've been thinking about it ever since.
Yeah.
Like, I got the itch again. I just want to play Phasmo again.
Yeah.
Like, that was so much fun, like, being back together with the Gigs crew. You know, we thought for a minute, because Scar had a long day. You know, Scar was streaming, like, the entire time. He didn't get breaks like some of us got. And so when it came to Phasmo, we're like, Scar, are you going to be okay for this? And he wasn't sure. We thought he was going to have to tag in Jem. I'm actually glad he hung.
She played her own role in this.
Because Jem became, like the other ghost.
Yeah.
Basically. So, yeah, her coming up, and there's some good clips out there of her, like, jump scaring us. And
got me every time.
I was looping. I was in the middle of looping a ghost, and she came over, jump scared me, and I died because it, like, threw me off, you know?
Yeah.
And her reaction, and there's a great shot of her, because I like, turned my chair and, like, put my arms behind my head, and so she's standing right next to me, and she just goes, with her arms up in the air, whoopsie! Like, it was hilarious. It's like a memeable shot for sure. You know, I haven't seen any memes. I've seen the shot of many times, but like somebody's got to make that a meme.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. Just like being in person to be able to do these shenanigans. You know, they started doing milestones like the pie in the face stuff.
Yep.
You know,
I never got pied.
Green being green, just. I can't believe he just went over to Jimmy's station and tried to smash a pie at Jimmy's station with no protective covering, anything like that.
Just whipped cream all over the keyboard.
Huge mess. I felt a little bad for Gamers Outreach because I think those were loners, and so they had to clean it up.
But it was really funny.
Green and Jimmy did try to clean it up best they could, but I'm like, oh my gosh, can't believe he did that.
Well.
So I was also in charge of like keeping an eye on those donation goals and like making sure I pulled the people off. Like we're hoping it would hit during bingo and we'd actually yank a couple off of bingo to like have a penalty. And then Scar had like the ability to like randomly choose who got picked by having papers on the floor face down
and he drive would over him. Yeah.
And he wouldn't know who it was. So we got a chance to do a couple of those and that was fun. Green got his comeuppance. He got a pie in the face.
He did. But what was great is when he went to pie Jimmy, the reason it was, Jimmy reacted and blocked it, and that's what caused the mess. And Green's like, why did you block it? It's like, because first of all, was he supposed to get pied? Did he drive? Did that happen because Scar drove over their paper?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. It was gonna be either Jimmy or Green.
So instead of going to the area of designation,
Green just decided, well, it's gonna be Jimmy, and I'm gonna go do it right now, whether he's expecting it or not.
Yeah, but then he took a pie to the face, I believe.
He did. Yeah, he made up for it, and he put the bag on and everything. Yeah, but that didn't protect him well enough because I guess it got in his ear. Like he was still cleaning. Whipped cream out of his ear like that night.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we did that, and then we also we all auctioned off some stuff, and that went very well.
The auction was very cool.
Very cool to watch.
Yeah. Like as soon as I knew we were doing the auction, I was like, this is a great way for people to give and receive. You know what I mean? Like, I really like that. You know, that's why I like services like Glimpse and Patreon, where you can have rewards for people that help us out, in this case, help the charity out. But I could have never imagined that some of these items were going to go for what they went for. Like, bro, it was just insane. Like, so you started with your drumsticks.
Yeah, that's all I did. In fact, because I'm such a new hermit, when there was talks of auctioning stuff off, I almost thought, like, is it too arrogant for me to recommend something because I'm such a new guy? I'm like, oh, I should do something. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Like, I don't have TCG cards. I don't have any of the plushies. I have none of that stuff. And I'm like, you know what? These sticks are pretty important to me. Like, this would be a sacrifice. Like, these sticks, I've drummed hundreds of thousands of notes on stream with these sticks. They are the best pair I've ever owned. And you know what it's like to hunt for the perfect pair. And I'm like, I'll do these sticks. Dude, I was like, $200. I'm hoping the bid started at $25. If I can get to $200, this will be worth it. You know, I'd never, ever, ever, ever.
What'd you end up going for? Like
$2,500? Over $2,500.
I wasn't planning on putting sticks up, but then I saw after yours went up, I saw a couple people be like, oh, it'd be nice to have a chance to get both pairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can have Imp and Skiz. And I was like, hey, I know it's kind of your thing, but would you mind if I put at least the sticks that I use on stream when I do the drum streams, the drum set streams? Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, that's cool. And I put those up as well. And those went for a good clip, $1,500 or something like that.
Those went well too, yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Also, I was able to get we'll switch to this camera, yeah. This print of the Cyberpunk that Apple Struda did. I asked them if I could basically just have one printed off, framed, and take to the auction. And they were like, yeah, go for it. That'd be great to have my art be part of charity. And I signed it and everything. And I can't remember what that went for, over $1,000. Nice. I think it was like, and then, yeah, other plushes and stuff. Anything I just had, just like from the past, I ordered for myself extras always for like situations like this. So I had a couple of plushes up. I had a couple of U2s up, like everything you see on the shelves around me, basically. I was able to contribute well, and those went. But I had no idea the Nerf guns.
Oh my gosh,
were going to sell. on the auction.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. We had so much fun with all those Nerf guns, and those were another milestone that a milestone unleashed those, and we were shooting each other. And by the way, just for
terrible
the record,
idea.
I am not. It was a great idea. The terrible idea was it should have come with, we should have put on glasses. We got away with one. I'm telling you right now, we got away with one because those little bullets were moving fast enough that they hit somebody's eyeball. It was going to cause damage. That's why I was like, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here, but I'm like, everybody shoot like towards the waist only. Like you can, if you shoot above, because these things sail.
They did. And they always shot higher than you'd think.
Yeah. And nobody, like, people got shot, like, here and there.
Right.
See?
Right there.
See?
Look how close that was.
That's close.
I still feel it.
Yeah. Whatever.
I was playing a game, and it would have hit the back of my head, but for some reason, it's almost like I just felt it coming. I started to look over right then it hit. So you actually see me playing a game. And I look over, and right when I look over, bang, hits my cheek.
Yeah.
And then I spun and fell out of my chair for funsies.
That was fun. Yeah. Yeah, you went all the way to the ground, which is impressive. But no, we got away with one. But it doesn't matter. We was fun. And I at one point, I just started wearing my sunglasses because like, I'm not taking one of these to the eyeball. I got to wear these. And so I think we rung in the $1 million passing of the whole, us and the other group of streamers brought us over $1 million. And in that moment, we all just unloaded on Zed. He put on glasses, he sat in the chair, and that was too much fun, dude.
Yeah.
Because by that time, we had different guns. We had the big ones. And they shoot a lot more.
Yeah, the first one was little pea shooters, and then we had another milestone to get the big Nerf guns.
Yeah.
And there was like three different kinds, and one of them had batteries and would like rapid fire on battery power and stuff. But yeah, you were like, we should do a line and then like march up and ready, aim, fire. And Scar was supposed to lead us, and then it came time, and I'm looking at Scar, and he's like, it must have been so loud for him, you know?
Maybe, or sometimes he wouldn't quite move to his command like every time. Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'll do it. And so I'm like, march, and then ready, aim, fire. And we lit Zed up, and he's just flailing all over the place in perfect Zed style with those big old bopper arm things.
Yeah, yeah. I think he even put, like, a pie tin in his pants to protect little
like
Zeds.
A cup.
Yeah. Yeah, but so the bottom line is this. It went incredible, and I think we all had a small degree of anxiety of what was to come after the event, which we were very excited, but we knew we were going to go on a bit of a road trip with Hermits and friends, and it was going to be you, Tango, and myself driving three separate vans that we reserved like a month ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And so that Monday comes along. Right. We've done it. The event's over. We did great. We're very proud and we have reason to be proud. We're very happy for the results. Monday morning comes along and I wake up. I'm like, OK, now it's it's time. And I spent like Sunday working after the event. Like, you guys all went out and I stayed back at the hotel. I had work to do to get ready for Monday. I was able to come meet you guys later, which was great. But I wanted to do that so I could just focus on driving. And I wake up and I'm getting ready. And the phone rings, and it's a Michigan, area. And I'm like, I should probably answer this. And it's the company, like, mm-hmm. Is this Skiz? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we don't have your van. And I'm like, that's no good. And he's like, God, he's rubbled. I'm like, that's no good. And he's like, yeah, because they didn't bring it back, and we can't make them bring it back. I'm all, well, there's three vans. He goes, yeah, I thought you guys might be together. We don't have any of those vans. I'm all, that's no good.
Yeah.
I said, we have a large group of people here, and we're on a schedule because we really wanted to catch.
Yeah,
we want to get into
Monday,
the path.
The day of the eclipse.
We want to get in the path of totality, which we were near but not in. And on top of that, we also had a schedule to keep, man. Mm-hmm. We got, and so I said, well, that's no good. And I said, I understand, but I need you to upgrade us, do what you got to do. You need to accommodate this amount of people, and I need you to do it quick. And so he's like, I've been working out for an hour, so let me give you a call back. I said, no problem, thank you. So he said, I'm gonna call the other guys now. And then Tango and I meet to go down in the elevator, and Tango's like, did you get the call? I said, I did. And Tango's like, this is awful. I'm like, this is awful. This is, but you know what? We're gonna figure it out. Whatever it is, we're gonna figure it out. And then we meet up with you. You're like, you got the call? I'm like, I did. And I had broken it to everybody too. And here was the best part. I really enjoyed is I broke it to the group, and I said, so we're going to go check out the car rental agency that's attached to this hotel, see if there's an option there. I'm also waiting for a call from the original one that we went with. So while I go do this, come up with plan B. I said, pretend I'm going to fail miserably. Come up with plan B. And so they're like, okay. And that was when I was like, this is the best group in the world. Yep. No, not one person was like, what?
Yeah, nobody freaked out. Everybody was just like,
how can I help? Like, exactly. It was like,
we'll figure it out. There's enough of us here. And
luggage everywhere.
Worst case scenario, we missed the eclipse and we were still just hanging out together.
Yeah. Yeah. Three vans worth of people and luggage all over the place. And we're supposed to go 5 minutes ago and we don't even have a plan now.
Yeah.
And so, you, me and Tango went and talked to them. And I'm also doing in parallel talking to the original guy. And I don't know if it was whose idea it was exactly, but they're like, this company that's been bringing us back and forth from the hotel to the event, let's see.
Yeah. And so. In this, like, minibus, basically.
Yes. And it was amazing.
So, yeah, I don't understand. So they just happened to be a guy from the transportation company in the lobby of the hotel, like, hadn't checked out yet.
Yeah.
And they just approached him and was like, hey, we need a ride. We wanted to go on this road trip to see the eclipse and then further on to Airbnbs and stuff to hang out for the week. And they made some calls. And next thing you know, like, we have a driver and we have a bus that fit exactly the amount of people we had.
Yeah.
And he was going to be there in an hour.
Yeah.
What? And it wasn't that much more expensive than our rental cars.
It was the best way to go.
I was like, how all of a sudden has something gone to complete crap and actually turned into a positive for us?
Yeah,
because
way better.
Now the three of us, me, you, and Tango, who were going to drive separate vans and separate the entire party, didn't have to drive anymore.
Right.
And everyone got to be on the bus together and hang out and have fun and chat and just be together. Now, there was one downside. Eclipse day.
Oh,
traffic was
my God.
Stupid.
I've never seen anything like that.
Could barely move. we were on the road just stuck. And so now we're in this van, and it was great that we were together and we were in good spirits because of the fact that it got solved. We were on the road, sort of, and yeah, at least heading in the direction we're supposed to be going in. And we're now it's like TikTok because we had till like 3:15 to get into the line of totality. Otherwise, it was going to be like every other eclipse we've seen in our life, you know?
Yep.
And so our driver was fantastic, but he was also like, I don't know how you guys are keeping this together.
Yeah.
Because this sucks. You know what I mean? And so he was like keeping his eye on the route, different kind of routes he could take and stuff. And he did his magic, man. Like all of a sudden, like we were going to head south because the line kind of cuts diagonally across the U.S.
Yeah.
We were going to head south and he realized south of no good. So he's like, you know what? I'm going east. And he cut, like, we were going through neighborhoods and stuff.
Do you realize if the vans came through, we would not have made the path of totality.
Right.
It would have been up to the three. We would not have known better.
And we would have had a hard time communicating change of plans between three different vans and stuff. So, yeah, the bus driver did us a solid. His name was David. He was absolutely awesome. We could tell a few David stories.
Yeah.
So he cut over to the east. And, dude, we barely made it.
Yeah.
But we made it.
The photo finish.
We made it. We had some random gas station in the middle of nowhere. And we got out and I posted a picture on my channel yesterday, my main YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
Me and you and our glasses looking up.
Yeah.
So it was like right before the totality. Because once totality hit, and I think a lot of people didn't understand this, including myself, that the difference between totality and not totality was actually major. And that's why everyone was going to the path.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite get it until it was completely covered and we could take our glasses off and safely look at where the sun used to be. You know what I mean? And see that like halo around it that didn't impact your eyes at all. And the whole neighborhood, like streetlights were coming on.
Yeah, and it got dark. And it got colder.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I've never experienced anything like that.
It was like such a cool moment. Yeah. Thank you, David.
Yeah,
if you're
David,
watching, for getting us there
in
the nick of time. Like, literally had like 2 or 3 minutes to get out of the van and catch it in time. It was awe-inspiring, man. Like, there's no way to describe it. You just have to live it. Now I'm like, when's the next one? I'm traveling for it.
Another 20 apparently. Years or so, yeah.
I'm already booked my plane tickets.
I told Siri, remind me in 20 years about the eclipse. I didn't understand the hype until we were there, and I'm like, I understand the hype. This is so worth it. It was so cool and so grateful to David, who, you know, we got to talk. He was a recently retired D1 baseball umpire, and that was very cool. So we got to really kind of relate on that level, and he would even, you know, demonstrate for us and stuff like that, which was great. And when he would do it, I was like, this is a guy this was a huge passion of his.
Oh yeah.
And this is
when you started asking him about his time being an umpire, his face just completely lit up. So because we were going on this road trip, it was going to take a couple of days to get to our final Airbnb that we were all going to hang out at. And now we had David, a driver with us that we needed to, put up overnight somewhere in a hotel or Airbnb. Well, I had looked at it, the, Airbnbs, we actually ended up renting 2 cause the group was so big.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, in the second Airbnb, the one that you and I had planned on staying in with Tango Dot and Zed, I said, there's room for David. I'll just sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
I was like, David, I tell David, I go, hey, we could put you up in a hotel or you can just hang out at the Airbnb with us. And immediately he's like, you guys are pretty cool. I want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to hang out with you guys. I was like, all right. So David came and he stayed in our Airbnb with us. And we walk in the door and he kicks his shoes off, puts his feet up, turns the TV on to SportsCenter. The dude was cracking me up.
He was wonderful.
He was just having the time of his life. His wife even called at some point. And he's like, I feel like I'm the one on vacation here.
Yeah.
He's telling his wife. So, yeah, he was a hoot. Like you said, he would demonstrate all his strike three, you're out of here calls and stuff.
And throwing
people out of the game. He told every person he'd ever thrown out of a baseball game, he told the story to us that night.
Yeah.
It was awesome getting to know him.
He was a trip. And then, so we had that first house and then we continued our trek further east. And I was really excited about that because it was also going to be 2 houses, but they were really close. And that was going to be the time that my wife was going to meet up with us. Mm-hmm. And because she was over on the East Coast taking care of my daughter who had just had surgery on her, you know, on her reconstructed ACL. And so my wife made the trek to the house while we were all hanging out. And the second she got there, I felt like I was complete. You know what I mean? Like it was, I was just so nervous about her making that trek. Yeah. It was late at night, very windy roads and stuff like that. And then once she got there, it was great. And everybody, all the hermits and friends were so accepting of her. And she, I was just very, I mean, I don't, it's lack of a better phrase. I was really proud of her. That's got to be kind of daunting to be in front of that many strangers with those types of like really large personalities. Yeah. And she just acclimated right in. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was so great having her there. And I knew that like now all of us are going to have a good time. I'm going to have to peel away every now and again to work, but we're all going to have this great time. And then we're going to part ways. And my wife and I are going to, you guys are all going to go to your separate homes. And my wife and I are going to shoot up you know, north and go to the east more to be with our daughter for a couple more days before we got home. And I only got home a couple nights ago, actually.
Yeah. It's
crazy to think that.
Yeah. Crazy. So this is the part where I know a lot of our viewers and listeners are going to be like, please tell us more about your time in the house together and hanging out for, those couple days on this quote unquote road trip. That's actually something that we all agreed to kind of like leave off camera. Like that time was for us. We weren't there to work, all. There wasn't any vlogging. There wasn't any streaming from the house. We were just there to unwind and completely unplug. Even though I brought my laptop with me, I didn't do anything with it other than upload the charity stream. And we just wanted to spend time and get to know each other more. And so I don't think as much as, you probably want the private stories, you're not going to hear a lot about that from like any of us just because it was kind of like our private time. I know there's probably a better word.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people are going to infer a lot of things that they should not be. There's nothing that we can't talk about this. It's not like that.
Right.
It's more like, it reminds me of, this is going to sound crazy and this is going to sound very selfish, but there's a scene in Saving Private Ryan where Tom Hanks's character, Tom Hanks and Matt Damon are just sharing their home lives and they're talking about, life as a kid and, he was a teacher and this and that. And then Tom Hanks talks about his wife and how she would garden and her flower bed and all that. And that's all he said, that she used to do flowers and stuff. And it's like minutes before the next battle happens. Matt Damon's character says, "Tell me about your wife and the flower bed." And he says, "No, that one's just for me." And that's how I feel about this trip. Like, it sounds so crazy and I feel kind of bad about it, but I'm like, this was like such a rare occurrence. It's like, this was great. And let's just leave it at that. Like it was, every person was as delightful or if not more than I was hoping they were going to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, I fully expected to be disappointed by some people and I was disappointed by not one.
Right.
It was awesome.
No, on the contrary, like it was crazy to see the entire group just have this camaraderie and we had a lot that we had to take care of logistically. Like we went to a grocery store and had four shopping carts.
That was a nightmare.
Filled with food.
Yeah.
That we were kind of, I wouldn't say winging it. Some people had an idea of what they wanted to do. Every once in a while when we would run into another, shopping cart within the group and we realized, oh, you also got milk.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we don't need 5 gallons of milk. Let's, like that kind of stuff we were having to figure out. But we did. Like we came together, we figured it all out. We spent a lot of money on groceries. That was a big group.
Yeah.
It was like almost $1,000 in groceries, which was crazy. And then we all just like came together to have fun with the cooking, with the cleaning, and then, kind of winding down and playing some games together. Like for instance, I know we're not going to get too super private, but like Tango brought a card game like called Bang. It was like cowboy game.
He brought that?
Yeah.
I thought it was in the house.
And so he sat down and taught us how to play it and stuff. And like we played like just games like that. The house had some pool table and
almost
and
had a role playing thing to it of like gunslingers.
So we really got a chance to just, here's the other thing that floored me. There was next to zero talk about work, like YouTube, streaming. Like,
there was some, but
it was
limited.
Just a minimal amount. Like we all like literally knew we were there to mentally turn off and just be in each other's company and enjoy each other. And we did. And I think like I think that's super important, you know, because like I can already feel that. I've been back on Hermitcraft since, and I can already feel that and just having conversations with some of the people that were there.
Yeah.
I already feel like so much more comfortable with them, and I feel like it's going to impact the way we make content because now we actually know each other, like not just online, but like we've hugged in real life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've had enough time to like really get to know each other. So I think it's going to go a long way from a like a team building standpoint, but I think also we kind of needed that. You know, it was I don't want to say stressful, but it was a jam-packed weekend.
Yes.
And we needed the unwind. But that was also following like the kickoff of season 10 where we've all just been going hard, you know, like I'm having fun, of course, but like we've all been putting our all into season 10. And so to have that moment to where we can just unwind and detach from all of that and just enjoy each other's company was just magical. I'm already looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm really looking forward to the next one. Like you think a lot of people get done with an event like this and like, oh, okay, that was great. That was a good thing. I need some time. I'm chomping at the bit for the next one, man.
Yeah.
And it's the people. Yep. It's the people. It was like, I feel like I've had this like loose friendship with everybody who was there, right? This like distant friendship or whatever, but getting to know them in real life and getting to really know them. Like I said, I was expecting to be disappointed. I'm sorry. I just was. Because that's just how it works, man. That's how it works.
A group that big, there's always one bad apple that spoils the bunch type situation.
Which means it's probably me, right? So, but
you were lovely.
I was very sad when it was over, right? But I'm trying to lean into don't be sad, it's over, be glad it happened, and just start looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything worked out, you know. We did have to drive Friday when we checked out to Newark to fly out.
Yeah.
And so Green had a brilliant idea. Like we weren't quite to the Airbnbs we're still in the bus with David, and we were like about to go through our last kind of like city before we were in the boonies, and Green's like, we should check and see if they have any car rental places there. And I remember Tango being like, there's no way they have three vans, like, because we still needed the three vans to get to the airport on Friday. And plus, we wanted to be able to have wheels in case people wanted to go places during the week, you know, go hiking or whatever. And so Green's like, well, just find out. And so we called and they had three vans. They had the three vans that we initially wanted. And so we're like, okay, we stopped and we got the three vans and we parted ways with David, who was, I think, a little sad because he was looking forward to some barbecue that night.
Yeah, but it shortened his drive
home. It did shorten his drive home, so he could actually make it home in a decent time that night. And then we had our vehicles. And so, Friday morning when we checked out of the Airbnbs, we were able to go to the airport, you know, and get everybody there. You and your wife went your separate way, and me, Tango, and we had another driver that drove the other van, and we all kind of just got there.
Yeah,
it was great.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
I was like worried about all that too, and like you said, we all like my wife and I were just completely separate. Like it was, we all went in a similar direction, but we broke apart. And I'm like, man, everybody's got a lot of travel ahead of them. And then what I liked about it was everybody was reporting to the group in Discord. I'm home now. Globally, I made it home. I made it home, and I'm like, this is a real friendship. That's what that is.
Yeah,
that's a real friendship right there.
That's what the week was to me. It was like a nice reminder that we're not just coworkers.
Yeah,
like Hermitcraft started as a group of friends just playing a video game together and kind of documenting that and putting it out there for people to be flies on the wall and see. And fast forward to season 10, we've got a decade of doing this under our belts now, and it's easy to forget those origins. It's easy to think, oh, I'm making these videos because it is my livelihood now, because I want to chase algorithms and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy to forget that, no, we're actually still doing this because we're actually still great friends just playing a game together, you know? And that friendship was obvious when we got in the house and we all just got along the way we did.
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was a nice reminder that we have that and we can't forget about that. And we need to spend time together doing these things to not just team building, just because it's nice to hang out with friends.
See, and that's exactly. And I think we all learned something. I think it's fair to say that everybody probably had a little bit of apprehension about this group coming together physically or whatever, like in real world. But now I'm willing to bet that nobody has the slightest bit of apprehension of doing it again. So
yep.
I guess I can't say enough. I'm looking forward to the next one. Do me a favor. Tell me what is some of your most memorable parts of the charity weekend. Yeah, I know you guys, like the amount of people that were part of that and watching. And if you were part of the donations and making or the auctions and making it come to reality, I cannot thank you enough. What a great cause. To come together. So let us know in the comments, what did you love most about the events? What's the most memorable? And you know what? I'm just going to say, what is it that you might like to see be different for next time? It may or may not happen, but let us know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it'll be with Gamers Outreach again, but I mean, the charities are always, Hermits are always looking to do charities. So anyway, yeah, let us know what you guys would like to see and what you like best. It was a blast. It was a blast. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it a little bit. So hopefully you guys all saw it. I don't know about you. I put the VODs, the replays of what I recorded in from stream up on my second channel. I think you've probably posted some
too.
I did.
Yeah.
I think most everybody did. So if you want to see any of our points of views from the weekend, just bounce around to our YouTube channels or second channels if you can find them. There's great clips out there too.
Yeah.
It's so much fun seeing them, and I'm sure we'll be seeing them for a while.
Yeah. Really good stuff. So let us know. And until next time.
Yeah. Hopefully sooner than later.
Chapter closed. Happy. Good chapter.
I miss everyone already.
I know. Moving on.
All right. See you guys.
See ya.